right, we're here. Get used to it.
Get used to it.
Hi, guys.
Just men.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm drinking a beverage today.
Ooh, what are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
I have lemon lime liquid IV.
Ooh. Did you have a rough night?
Yeah, a little bit of something.
I'm drinking a Starburst lemon sparkling ice.
Ooh, look at that.
Oh, is it as gross as the Starburst strawberry?
You know, I've gotten used to the strawberry, but no, it's better. But they're all pretty decent, but the strawberry was a little weird.
He was like, that's way more Starburst in my mouth than I'm used to.
Right. I don't.
Does it taste like wax, like Starburst?
Certain amounts of things can burst in my mouth at once.
I'm drinking Diet Coke.
Cool.
And if you guys haven't figured it out yet, it's a morning edition of the Miseducation of Sheltered Bill.
These last few weeks of morning recordings have been going great.
So solid. Yeah.
So much fun, guys.
We're still
no issues to write home about.
I don't know if the episodes have lined up, but we still are in the middle of watching our Oscar movies.
Correct. Yes. They should line up.
We are still talking about them. Yeah.
And this week we watched Killers of the Flower Moon.
There you go.
Why is there so many words in it? It has nothing to do with any of it.
Because it's the longest movie ever.
So I'm going to do some trivia.
Okay.
We've got some trivia before we start talking about it. Now, I had a plan, and the plan was that I was going to do the exact same trivia I did last time regarding stuff from 2023. Uh-huh. But I left my notes at my other office, so I don't have it. So we're going to do something totally different. I just thought I'd bring that up.
That doesn't sound like you, Bill.
No, but it's going to be fun. I've got some good, fun trivia. Now, first things first, I did find at this office that I'm at an old, old notebook.
Okay.
A very old notebook. A notebook from 2021.
Whew. And when we were still doing the podcast.
On the first page of this notebook from 2021 are a bunch of trivia questions. And these are all trivia questions. Did I say that right?
Yes.
I'm having trouble saying
probably this. Not.
These are all trivia questions regarding movies with the word thunder in them. From when we did Thundercats in the Ball Dome.
Or oh, right. That James Bond this is really was. Old.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Right? So
Thundercats in the Ball
Dome. I figured we'd start on these. And then I have some other stuff, but maybe I'll save that for trivia for another day. But okay, here we go. And you guys just buzz in with your name whenever you have the answer, okay? And keep in mind, you've both heard these questions and answers before.
Okay. I mean, that's Rick's trivia, so.
This 1984 movie was nominated for Best Film Editing.
Rick.
Go ahead, Rick.
Thunderbolt and Lightning Heart.
No.
Ryan, Days of Thunder.
Here's what I have written. Nope. Here's what I have written down. Roy Schneider.
Scheider.
Warren Dates. Warren Oates.
Okay.
Warren. Daniel Stern. Modified police helicopter going to Vietnam.
Thunderbolt and Lightfoot. Oh, Thundercat. Thunderhawk.
No.
Thundercat. Thunder Bay. Thunder.
I think you're cut off.
Thunder Wing.
Ryan, do you have a guess?
Thunder Propeller.
Thunder from Down Under. Thunderstruck.
No. Okay. It was called Blue Thunder.
Oh, right. Blue I was Thunder. Close.
Blue Thunder.
I had Thunder,
the
right?
Police helicopter.
Yes.
Blue.
Yeah.
Okay. This 1990, what looks like it might be a 3 film. Stars Hulk Hogan as Hurricane Spencer.
Rick.
Yes, Rick.
I had it. Thunder Island.
No.
No, Thunder Bay. It's a boat. He's in a boat. Thunderstruck.
Turbo Thunder. I don't know.
Island.
No, it's called Thunder in Paradise.
See, Islands are in Paradise.
Okay. This 1990 Tony Scott film stars Robert Duvall and Tom Cruise.
Ryan.
Rick.
Ryan.
Days of Thunder.
Correct, Ryan.
Damn it.
Days of Thunder.
Yes.
This 2008 film stars Ben Stiller, Jack Black, and Robert Downey
Ryan,
Jr.
Ryan. Tropic Thunder.
Tropic Thunder.
Is correct. Someone keeping score?
Yeah, it's 2-0.
This 1977 film stars Tommy Lee Jones and is about a Vietnam veteran.
Ryan.
Yes.
Thunderstruck.
No. Rick.
Yeah.
Thunder.
Sorry, all I heard was thunder.
Yeah, that's all I said.
Oh, okay. No, the answer is Rolling Thunder.
Okay.
This 1967 Annette Funicello film is about a race car driver that has blackouts.
Rick. Blackout Thunder.
No.
Imaginary Thunder?
Nope. Thunder Alley.
We're bad at this.
I think that we...
Are you sure we did this before?
And I remember it going about the same way. I didn't know if any of these movies were famous or not.
Right.
Okay, let's move on to real trivia.
Okay.
That was just for fun.
Okay, great.
For funsies.
So I like to do top 10 lists for you guys.
Sure. So wait, is there any, have any points been scored yet?
No. Nah.
Okay.
I won imaginary trivia.
Imaginary Thunder trivia.
Yes.
Right. So I have Googled a top 10 list of the top 10 top 10 lists.
Okay.
Yo, dog.
So the categories are these top 10 lists. So that's going to be the first round. Okay. So we will do this Family Feud style, right?
Okay.
So first person to buzz in gets to decide to play or pass.
Okay.
I've already asked the question. Name the top 10 top 10 lists categories.
Rick.
Rick.
Top 10.
Oh, you know what the problem is? Is that... Well, it doesn't matter.
Top 10.
I'll just do them the way they're listed.
Top 10 desserts.
No, Ryan.
Wait, don't I get to go for three? It's Family Feud.
No, this is to see if you pass or play.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, it's like you've never watched or played the feud before.
Top 10 movies.
Yes, correct. Do you want to pass or play?
Pass.
Okay, Rick. I've got 9 more top 10 lists.
Top 10 albums.
Yes.
Yes. Top 10 fast food restaurants.
No.
One strike.
Top 10 books.
Yes.
Top 10 vacation spots.
No.
Two strikes.
Top 10 beaches.
No. Three strikes.
All right.
Top 10 TV shows.
No, that's not on here.
I win.
That interesting.
Rick wins
yeah.
the round.
Okay. Rick wins the first round. There's no scoring for this. So, okay. So here's the other ones I have. So we're going to say movies and albums are out because we always do those. So you can't choose those. But now you get to choose the category, Rick, for the top 10.
Why can't I choose movies and albums? That would be hard and maybe fun. That's what this podcast is about, Bill.
Hard and fun.
Which top 10 list would you like? Books, movies, albums, foods, animals, companies, games, historical events, internet, or miscellaneous?
Movies.
Okay. So top 10 best movies of all time.
And is there points scored in this? Is it 10 to 1, 1 to 10 points?
Yeah. I'm gonna give you the 1 to 10 inverted for this one. And you each going to get 3 guesses.
Okay. In a row, Ricky, or back and forth?
In a row? no, back and forth.
Try not to guess any movies on the way through the parking lot.
What'd you do, line them up?
All right. I get to go first?
And this is according to thetop10s.com. So it's completely arbitrary right. based on what I found on this one website.
Okay. I go first.
Top 10 movies of all time. Yep.
The Godfather.
Number 3.
Citizen Kane.
8 points. Let's see. Scrolling down.
It's only 10.
No, Citizen Kane did not make the list.
Right. Wow. Right. The Godfather 2.
No.
Oh. Casablanca.
No.
What? Shawshank Redemption.
Yes, number 4, worth 7 points. So Rick gets a total of 15. Ryan, to get any points this round.
Gone with the Wind.
No.
What is this
so Rick's
list?
Ahead, 15 to nothing. Number 10 was Avengers Infinity War.
Oh, this is a stupid list.
Number 9 is Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope.
That was going to be my next guess.
Episode?
Even though I didn't strike out. I don't know why I didn't get to guess one more time, but.
Number 8 was Back to the Future.
Okay.
Okay.
No, number 7 was Pulp Fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Number 6, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Hmm.
Number 5, Star Wars Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back.
Empire?
4 was Shawshank, 3 was Godfather. Number 2, best movie of all time.
Titanic.
The Dark Knight.
Okay.
Really?
And number 1, best movie of all time, according to this website, Forrest Gump.
All right.
Apparently, okay. No one on this top 10 list has seen a movie before 1975.
I like it. Okay, Ryan, we still have books, albums, food, animals, companies, games, historical events, internet, and miscellaneous. And don't worry, listeners, we will not get to them all.
I'm feeling spicy. Internet and miscellaneous.
No, those are two different categories. Oh,
internet, then.
Okay. Top 10 best websites of all time.
Google.
Why does he get to go first?
Because it's his turn.
Okay.
Yes, Google is number 2. 9 points. Rick?
Oh, I was going to say Google.
That's already been taken.
I don't want to go with Dogpile, so I'm going to go with Facebook.
Facebook is number 5.
Hotmail.
Hotmail website?
It is a website.
Like www.hotmail.com?
Yep. It was.
Strike.
Ah.
Instagram.
Nope.
Ugh.
AOL.
Nope.
Yahoo.
Yes, Yahoo is number 7.
Yahoo!
Worth 4 points. So in that round, Rick got 10 and Ryan got 9.
Jesus.
Number 10 was Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9 was IMDb. Number 8 was Twitter or X.
Cool.
You got Yahoo. Number 6 was Amazon.com.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big one.
Heard of it.
Yeah.
Heard of it.
Yeah. Heard of it.
And then 5 was Facebook. Number 4 was Wikipedia.
Mm.
Okay.
Number 3 was thetop10slist.com.
That's a little incestuous there.
3? I don't know.
2 was Google. And number 1 was YouTube.
YouTube. Okay.
Okay, right now the score is Rick 25 to Ryan's 9 plus the 2 from the previous Thunder round gives us 25 to 11.
Okay.
Okay.
Points doubled?
Rick, Rick, pick your category. You can still pick from books, albums, foods, animals, companies, games, historical events, or miscellaneous.
I'm going to go animals.
Top 10 animals.
Okay. We're going to go with top 10 best animals in the world.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to go ready? Dog.
Dog number one with a bullet.
Cat.
Cat number two. Close second, Ryan.
I'm going to go hamster.
Ooh, bold choice.
I know.
Not on the list. Cow.
Let me see cow. Nope.
All right. I'm going to go rabbit.
Ooh, good answer. Good answer, but no.
Oh, I have a good one lined up.
You're done.
That's only two strikes.
I was only giving everyone three, but that's fine. Go ahead, Ryan.
Give him three what? Guesses?
Three guesses, yeah.
Oh.
That's what we did on the other ones, but it's fine. This one's fun.
sheep.
Nope.
Horse.
One more each.
Horse.
Oh, horse. Number eight.
Yeah.
It's you. 3 points. Ryan? Think about... I'm going to give Ryan a hint.
Oh, good.
Remember one and two? Uh-huh. The rest of them are basically one and two in different forms.
Like horse. Horse is like a big dog.
Or at least three and four are.
Ryan, say Labrador.
No, that's a dog.
Goldfish.
Wait, it's not. No. Wait, what? I'm confused by your clue and Ryan's answer. Yeah. All right.
Goldfish. What happened?
No. Rick got 13. Ryan got 9 more. It's now 38 to 20. Here's our other answers, guys. Number 10 was elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Number what was elephant?
Number 10.
Okay. And that's kind of like a cat.
No.
In a different form. Like in an elephant form.
Number 9 was fox.
Okay.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there, yeah.
Number 7 was lion.
Okay.
Number 6 was penguin, which is basically a dog. Number 5, I should have probably given this to Ryan when he said goldfish. It's dolphin.
No, you should not have given it that to it.
Number 4 was tiger. And number 3 was wolf.
All right.
See, I took your clue to mean, these are more house pets than animals. So
when I said they're basically dogs or cats, you said goldfish.
Did I win?
Not yet.
Oh, you should hurry.
We should.
Let's do one more. Let's do one more. Ryan, you get to pick the category and points are doubled. Okay, final. Next round.
Okay.
Points are doubled.
All right.
Okay. Ryan has selected the top 10 best albums of all time.
Okay.
Ryan gets to go first.
The Beatles' White Album. Not on the list.
How many strikes are we getting in this final round of bonus points?
I don't know. I'll decide. I'll see how it goes.
Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
That is number 2.
Right.
Jimi Hendrix Experience. Are You Experienced?
No.
Nirvana, Never Mind.
Number 10.
Metallica, Black Album.
No.
Beach Boys, Pet Sounds.
No.
Oh, what?
Eagles, Hotel California.
No. But I will tell you, there are still several on here that we have listened to on the podcast.
Yeah.
Actually, 2, but...
Let's go out on a limb here. Let's go Dr. Dre, The Chronic.
No. Okay, Ryan, if you get this one right, you win.
If this one is on the list at all, I win trivia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
AC/DC Back in Black.
No. Rick wins trivia.
Yes.
What is this list?
Okay, you ready for this list? Remember, it's just off this top 10 thing.
Yeah.
Number 10 was Nirvana Nevermind.
Okay.
Number 9 was Thriller by Michael Jackson.
Should have said that.
Yep.
Number 8 was A Night at the Opera by Queen.
Queen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, Bill, want to play a game?
Sure.
You just give us the titles to see if we can name the bands.
Okay. Yeah, right. Number 7, American Idiot.
And you tell us if Green you Day. Could have named the band also. And that's Green Day.
Okay. Yeah, no.
Okay.
The Wall.
Pink Floyd.
Six. Pink Floyd.
Revolver.
The Beatles.
Number 5. Led Zeppelin 4.
Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin.
I was going to guess Led Zeppelin 4 and Revolver at one point on this thing.
Number 3 was Abbey Road.
The Beatles.
Beatles.
Mm-hmm. And you got Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Mm-hmm. And the number 1 greatest album of all time, as featured on this podcast and confirmed by me as being a good album,
was
Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, Pink Floyd. Nice.
So, there we go.
That was a pretty Beatle.
Let's not ever use the top tens as a source ever again.
I mean, you know, they had a few on there.
Check out. Shit, I forgot what it's called. It's in Portland. It's the hair place. Man, they've been sponsoring us for 2 years. What's it called? It's called Hairpin Salon. That's what it's called. Yeah. Check out Hairpin Salon in Portland. Google it.
Okay. Did you have any top 10 lists for genocide?
What?
Did you have any
top 10 lists for genocide?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this movie.
Okay.
We watched a movie.
We did watch a movie.
I felt like I watched 3 movies.
I watched at least 3 movies.
It's terrible. But they all are, so whatever.
Rick has left the chat.
Killers of the Flower Moon, Ryan.
Yeah. What'd you think? Well, it felt like I watched 3 different movies because I had to stop and start this movie 3 different times because it was so long.
It was very long.
Started out like I didn't know the story. I mean, I didn't know this story.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it either.
So that was interesting. Didn't know what I was getting into. They had that whole pre-roll where they were talking about the Osage people and how they made all this money off the oil and all this. And so that was a learning experience and interesting to start out with. But then it just started to get stuck in the mud. At first I felt like this was going to be an entire movie of white people bad. I kind of think this is a genre of movies, just white people bad, you know, without having a whole lot of other context. You know, it's just like, white people did another bad thing in the history of the world, and we're going to tell you about it. Which, I mean, education in that way is good, but it's like, okay, make it interesting.
But it's also not unique to white people.
Correct. Every
people did bad things.
Right, right.
People equal bad.
Right. So, that wasn't great. But, I mean, it's a Scorsese movie. Felt like a Scorsese movie because it was too long. And
I did not like the way that Leonardo DiCaprio played this part.
Mm. He wasn't the Leo I like.
Yeah. Yeah, and my problem is we all know that he's a great actor.
Right. He
but
can
there
be.
Wasn't any like he has the potential to be a great actor.
Yeah, in
but
every
there
role.
There was no great acting in this for him.
There was a little bit when he was like wrestling with the decision at the end. I thought he played his like distraught character a little bit better
than... whether or not to testify against Robert De Niro.
Correct, yeah. I think that there was a little bit there, but the rest of it, he was just, like, kind of being a dumbass, like, through the whole thing. And it's like, does that take a lot of acting to just pretend to be stupid and do stupid stuff?
Yeah. Rick had an interesting point. We had a little pre-talk about this movie.
Yeah.
even though we're supposed to save the content, but...
we're pros by now. We can figure it out.
He'll probably come right back and say this exact same thing when he comes on. But like, this movie's really weird to have this story told from the perspective it's told from, where primarily it's just the scenes of the white people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to say that the protagonist in this movie isn't Leonardo.
Right.
Right. Even though he does some things that are somewhat okay, but is mostly horrible, you know?
Right. And like, you know, I think you're supposed to feel like he ends up doing the right thing, even though he's a flawed character. But like all the scenes earlier in the movie where he's like, robbing people and, you know, doing all this other bad shit. Like, he's not a good guy at any point
and
in this
defrauding,
movie.
Defrauding the insurance company.
Right. Hit close to home there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did think that De Niro's character had a lot more depth. I didn't totally foresee him being as evil as he ended up being in the first half of the movie. I knew he wasn't great, but I didn't realize how much of a kingpin he was going to be in the whole story.
I was trying to figure out, it seemed to me like he was trying to make it so that Leonardo DiCaprio would inherit all of it, right? Like all of the land rights. They would basically all go to him. Right.
But only so that he could be controlled by it because De Niro thought he was incapable of
in his pocket.
Yeah, exactly. He's a dullard or whatever.
But it was weird because once they kind of all did flow through him, I don't see what the point was of him killing Leonardo's wife.
Right.
Why is he poisoning her so that she can't
divorce? Because then he gets everything.
Who?
Leo.
But doesn't he get it anyway? He's her husband.
But not until she's...
That's the whole premise of the thing.
Well, but he can't control everything until she's gone.
She was too strong.
Which is weird because what's with the whole, like, being in control of how they spend their money and how much they're allowed to spend of their money and stuff like that?
Well, so they don't waste it. I think it's as the sister, Anna, who was the, like... You know, drunk, all about town, spending money everywhere. Yeah. They didn't want that to happen with anybody else, so they wanted to keep Lily Gladstone's character down and bedridden, but still alive, so she could get the most money, but not spend any
so
of it.
So the other ones could die, and they would go through her, and then she would die.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's like he said with the quote unquote melancholic guys. Like I got to keep him alive for this long, and then I'm going to kill him so I can collect the insurance money.
Yeah. But did you know that that's still a thing today? That when you buy a life insurance policy, it excludes suicide, but it's only allowed to exclude it for 2 years, and then it has to be covered because they say no one ever intentionally plans to commit suicide 2 years from now. Like,
oh, fun.
Yeah.
Mental note.
Well, and how do you? Can you just take out an insurance policy on anybody?
You can take an insurance policy out on anyone as long as you have an insurable interest in them, meaning that it's worth it for them to be alive to you.
So if I'm a number one fan of Britney Spears and I want her to keep making music, can I issue a life insurance policy in case she dies?
She would have to sign it.
Oh, well, that doesn't help.
But I think the bigger thing is the because he owed him money, that's right. The kind of situation that happens all the time, right? Like a lot of times if people go into business together and there's debt or there's obligation. They'll take out like a three-way or two-way or however many way there are partners called key man insurance, which is basically like buy sell. So it's one of those things where like, if the three of us went into business together, we would get a three-way life insurance policy. So whenever one person died, the money would go to that person's family in exchange for their ownership in the company. It's like an immediate buyout clause rather than the controlling interest going to staying in their family and being part of their estate or something like that.
Got it.
Gotcha. So, Rick, you had to take a little break there, but we were talking about how this movie was way too long. How did you feel?
Yeah. Here's the problem with this movie. It is too long because you have Martin Scorsese just doing whatever he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. He's got a blank check. Yeah.
He's so precious about his own stuff that he leaves everything in the world in the movie. And also, why does Martin Scorsese make this movie? This movie is not for just like I had to look it up when I got done because I was annoyed with the way this movie is made, where I'm like, am I supposed to kind of like Leonardo DiCaprio? Like, he's a horrible monster, but you're trying to make him, like, Scorsese is making him, like, kind of like a decent guy. He really likes her, even though he's murdering her, you know?
Right.
And that's dumb.
Well, then the whole, he ended up doing the right thing at the end, so it's okay.
Do you think he's supposed to ever know that he's murdering his wife or keeping her sick?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
I think so.
I think the whole thing is he didn't know it was ever happening to his wife. And once he did, that's what turned him.
No, because he kept doing it even when he was doing it. He's not stupid. He's not dumb, man.
No, he's pretty stupid. He's really stupid in this movie.
This movie should not have been made from the bad guy's perspective.
Yeah.
This movie should have been made by a native person who tells the story from their perspective. This movie was... It's just like, who enjoys this movie? That's the thing. Like, and the other part is like, it starts off like it's supposed to be almost like a gangster movie.
Yeah.
And it turns into like, what? This is just white guys getting away with bullshit.
Right.
And it's wild to me that they let it happen like that. And also, I was excited. I knew Jesse Plemons was in this movie. I didn't know he was going to show up at hour two. He's one of the stars of the movie, and he shows up 2 hours in.
I don't know if he's a star, but
he's one.
You just mean like billing in the billing?
Yeah, he's one of the stars of the movie. Like wasn't he nominated for Best Supporting?
For this?
Maybe.
That's crazy.
I think the story goes that role that he's in was supposed to be Leo's role. And then Leo wanted to play the other role, and he got to play that role instead.
IMDb is having trouble bringing up that Oscars thing.
The one thing about this movie that I thought was interesting is that I thought that De Niro did a pretty good job acting.
No, yeah, I actually liked De Niro. I liked the job he did at playing this character in this movie. I didn't like his character. Like,
yeah,
I was like, oh, I hope this guy wins.
It was the first time I had seen De Niro be not just De Niro in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely felt a little bit like Casino De Niro.
Yeah.
That, like, the boss in control. Like, the scene where he gives Joe Pesci the marker, $50,000, and he's done. You know, that kind of guy. That it felt like that, especially the scene where Leo's freaking out at that like street party or whatever, and he goes and says, "You settle down right now."
Yeah,
like that's some good De Niro acting. But we had said earlier while you were on your break that Leo didn't do Leo acting in this movie. There wasn't a lot of
I didn't think he was very good at all.
Well, okay, you say that, but like, when is Leo anybody besides? He's always just Leo. I don't think he's very. You've never.
You don't think he's a very good actor?
No. I like him, and I think that he, besides What's Eating Gilbert Grape, when have you ever seen Leo Have you, even then, but like, have you ever been like, who is that? Oh, it's Leonardo DiCaprio. You've never said that in your life.
Mm. No, but he's like, I don't know. He's just, he's done good roles though. He's done a good job. Like, he does a great job in Catch Me If You Can.
Sure.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
You don't think he was good in this movie?
No.
Why?
Well, unless he was supposed to play just an idiot.
I mean, I think he was.
And it's fine, but I guess here's my issue. You don't need Leonardo to play that role.
No, but that's how Martin Scorsese makes this movie, right? He says, I'm going to make this movie, and I got Leo and De Niro ready to go, and they give him just all the money in the world that he wants. Mm. And he can make anything he wants, and no one's going to say anything to him about it.
We should say something.
I think so. Someone should tell him, stop making
stupid ass long movies.
You know, even his movies, you know, all his movies, like all his big movies you could think of is the same thing. It's all about white guys getting to do anything they want whenever they want.
So,
because that's his life.
He writes
what he knows.
Yeah.
He writes what he knows.
I mean, it boils down to that in Goodfellas and Casino and The Departed, mm-hmm. and whatever. Like, that's what it always is.
It's funny.
Him on the map.
Goodfellas? No. He's been around since like the 70s.
Taxi Driver?
Maybe. I mean, I don't really know what his first.
Has he just always only worked with Robert De Niro?
I mean, not only always, but...
But, like, puts Robert De Niro in pretty much everything he makes? Until Leo came along?
Isn't Taxi Driver someone else? Isn't that Peter Dante? Or, no, I mean... Wait, is it him? Scorsese's in the movie, though. It sits in the back of the... Maybe it must be his movie, because he sits in the cab for a second.
He directed it, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Mean Streets was before that.
Yep.
Never heard of it.
He has a lot of stuff. I mean, he's been around forever. He's just, you know, he likes his guys. You know, that's how a lot of people are. I mean, there's a lot of movies like that, right? Like Samuel Jackson with Tarantino and...
Well, Tarantino and a lot of people.
Yeah. And if you're going to make a movie about, you know, old guys that want to be shitty, De Niro's good at it.
You know, I hate to keep coming back to this, but... Bill and I had a little conversation about how this...
I'd hate to come back to that, too. See what I mean?
I have this, like, super long hair that I just found on my pants.
Cool.
No,
definitely not mine.
We talked about how this movie is another movie in a long line of white people bad movies, where it's just, it doesn't matter what it is. The white people are doing the wrong thing and they're bad. Even though all people have done bad things, just not documented in American film history forever.
I mean, I think that is a little short-sighted. I think that, like, this happened and it's quite the story. Like,
well, it's not like I was coming to it from a more of a, this movie feels like another one of those. Like, in the beginning watching
The way Ryan said it the first time, which you'll never know because you won't listen back to this episode, but, like, that's lost to you forever.
Sure.
But I think the way Ryan was saying wasn't so much like this movie's trying to make white people look bad.
Right.
Because these white people did a bad thing. Right?
Okay.
But I think it's more like he was saying that seems to be the whole thrust and purpose of the movie.
See, but I don't think so, because I think this movie tried to make these white guys not that bad.
They came off pretty bad.
Yeah, they sure did, because they should. They did a horrible... But the way that movie goes, for at least the first 2.5 hours, you're like, oh, maybe like Leo might save the day, or maybe he doesn't know he's murdering people. Maybe he's not, and he sure is.
But he's doing other crimes too, like the insurance fraud thing, and when he robs people, it's like he's not setting himself up to be a good guy in any way, shape, or form.
But I think what you have to come to terms with is white people are terrible. And we've committed.
My point was, yes, we have, but all people are, Rick.
Okay, but that's not the point.
That's not the point of this movie.
We shouldn't get into this. This, your All Lives Matter argument is not great right now. Like, because that's what you're saying.
I'm saying that there are many horrible atrocities committed by all races of people.
The
atrocity of man is not specific to the white man.
Sure, but you...
Nor was it invented by the white man.
But you have to... When you say that argument right now, it sounds like they're picking on you. There's plenty of movies about all kinds of people doing all kinds of bad things.
Right.
It's not like it's an exclusive club of like white guys or bad movies. There's just the one we watched. This one is one of them. You know, there's when you watch movies about gangs, those aren't usually white guys doing bad things. It's black guys doing bad things and Boys in the Hood and stuff. Those movies exist. This is just something else we all did. So I don't think that the argument should be that it's just another one of those movies.
I think I understand what you're saying. Like, but do you think that this movie glorifies white people doing horrible things?
No, I think
it makes them look good.
Well,
do you think it makes it look fun or admirable or
no? But I don't think that the issue,
'cause I think that's some of what Boys in the Hood does, right?
I mean, it depends on the kind of person that you are, but no, not really.
Let me say this. Let's say this in the right way, right? But like, when you watch Boys in the Hood,
I don't want to join a gang.
You also don't come out of it going, black people are horrible.
Okay, but I didn't do that.
But you are saying that this movie says white people are horrible.
No.
And that we should embrace that.
I'm saying that white people are horrible. This movie is showing what these dumb rednecks did. Right. And I'm showing that it should be from a different perspective because the filmmaker only knows how to tell the story one way.
Mm.
Okay.
He doesn't know how to tell the story from the native perspective on this. Can you imagine if... So, do you guys know Lily Gladstone besides in this movie?
No.
So, did you ever watch Reservation Dogs?
No.
No.
Okay. It's a TV show on Hulu.
I've heard of it.
And it's really good. And it's about these native kids who live in Oklahoma on a reservation and just like their lives. And she's in that. And she's really good in that too. And that show is all from their perspective. And if you had made the same movie as these guys coming, this movie could be a horror movie if you did it right. Like this movie is crazy, but that's not what they decided to do with it.
I felt like the only tension that built in this movie is whether or not Leonardo was smart enough to realize what he was helping do to others was also being done to his wife. And I don't think he did.
I don't think he did understand. And listening to your guys' conversation and my thoughts on this, I maybe should have framed my comments more as power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely, more than a race kind of thing. But
yeah,
There's no way Leo didn't know he was killing her and keeping her sick.
His character?
When they talk about, oh, this will just slow her down a little bit. And then she's crazy sick and he's giving her those shots and holding her down and he knows what he's doing. That's the problem, that Scorsese made it look like you're supposed to be like, maybe he doesn't know. Maybe he is so in love with this lady that he doesn't want to murder her. He just has to. And that's not what it is at all.
I don't know.
I think he's stupid enough to believe.
I think he got me with that one.
Yeah,
right?
I think he did too. I think he pulled the wool over your eyes.
I don't know. The rest of the movie before that part when he starts to poison the insulin leads me to believe that Leo's character is not smart and probably doesn't understand medicine. And also that he trusts that De Niro's character does have his best interests in mind and is trying to help him, at least to that point. I think he realizes at the end what's going on, but it takes him the whole movie to get there.
I think De Niro's character is pure evil, and Leonardo's character is willing to go along with whatever because he is greedy and he loves money. Like, he says that 6 or 7 times, but I also think he's dumb enough not to see that what he is part of with other people is also happening to him.
All right, here's a quick paragraph from an interview with Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think Leonardo DiCaprio knew what was going on.
Even as they started shooting, DiCaprio says Scorsese wasn't sure how much he wanted to divulge of Ernest's complicity in the murders. We didn't necessarily know whether it was more of a mystery that would unfold or if Marty wanted to show Ernest's involvement right off the bat. So that's the dance we played with it. In the end, the film makes it clear Ernest's involvement. He's an incredibly unredeemable character, but there was a real amount of mental manipulation that's happened with his one and only father figure, his uncle. So he's been tricked, but he knows.
He knows he's murdering others. I don't know if that says every murder, including Molly.
I don't think that you...
He's part of all the other murders.
But he's part of all of it, and he is complicit in all of it.
Yeah, but he's being pretty heavily manipulated, and he seems pretty upset when he realizes what's happening to Molly, and he stops giving her the medicine.
Well, he doesn't like... Maybe he doesn't love killing her, but he's doing it.
And he stops.
Right, but that's... I don't know. I think that... I guess we should go read the book. Right?
It's a book?
Yeah, this is based on a book.
They made a book out of that? Get the book. Who wrote the book?
It's like an FBI profiling situation of the whole thing that people say is really good. I think that you can't be too naive to know that what you're doing in all these. When you're going around just killing people and then also that she's dying all the time, I'm pretty sure you know what's up.
She's dying all the time. I just need her to stop dying.
Right.
So much. She just dies so much.
But if I hold her down and put some more medicine in her, she'll be fine. Anyway.
If this movie was an hour shorter, and I might have thought of it better.
I'll tell you this. This conversation probably didn't sound like it, but I was told, I had heard about this movie. It didn't seem like I cared about it. I knew it was long. I sat down reluctantly to watch it. And when I watched it, I was like, this is pretty good. Like, I didn't hate the movie at all. I think it was made really well. The people in it do a great job and it's fine. I just don't, who would ever rewatch this movie?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
The Best Picture nominees sucked this year. I didn't love this movie, but it was more watchable than Oppenheimer, I thought. It was less... I liked it better.
I don't agree with that, but
I liked it better than Oppenheimer also. And for different reasons probably, but if I was on a deserted island and I had two movies and I could only watch one of them and I was with another person. This is a good story.
This is real good hypothetical.
And I had to show them one movie.
No, I'm with you.
I would pick.
Go on. Killers any other caveats to this island?
I'd pick Killers of the Flower Moon to rewatch.
Over Oppenheimer?
Over Oppenheimer.
Okay.
But Barbie should have won the whole thing.
Right. Yeah. Because I've watched Barbie 3 times and I'd watch it again before any of these.
Right. So, well. I think that we are either going to have to talk about this movie for 3 more hours. We either have to dig into this movie for 3 more hours, or we need to read a history book.
Yeah.
Or join some kind of a club that has definite opinions about this movie.
I don't think we need to join a club that has definite opinions about whether or not white people are bad.
Or we should get to the climometer.
Not just willy-nilly.
Yeah, we should probably
be careful
to
which of those clubs you join.
And I choose climometer.
Okay. I choose climometer. Bill, what you got?
How did you guys think I would think about think?
We didn't do
did
that.
You guys did,
we didn't
you
watch guys didn't we that? Hadn't watched it, these Oscar movies.
God, we just are just flying by the seat of our pants, aren't we?
Uh-huh.
As usual.
On a wing and a prayer.
What do you guys think I think about this movie?
70.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
56. 56.
No, I think it's I have a hard time even putting it at a 50 on the rewatchability scale.
Oh, I forgot we're doing wait.
Or no, it's not rewatchability, it's what I expect from you guys in assigning a movie.
But that's not what we're doing here. I'm kind of going with you. I think you should just these Oscars need to be just based on the movie. Like,
yeah, so I if it's just based on the movie and I'm not putting it in any other climometer perspective of any of our other things, just like in a box.
Mm-hmm. What's in the box?
This movie's a 44.
Fartifar.
Okay. Fartifar.
All right. Well, what are we going to watch next week? Next time?
Well, we got to keep making our way down the list. So I guess we're going to watch Poor Things.
We are, for sure. You're going to watch Poor Things?
I'm going to start it.
Okay.
All right. Rick, did you have a score?
A what?
Did you have a score for this movie?
Oh, no. I mean, like 55. It's like, it's just a well-made movie and it's well-acted. I just don't care about it.
Yeah, I'm at a 37 in a row. Too long.
So for Ryan, this movie was a bag of dicks.
I mean, there were a lot of dicks in it, metaphorically speaking.
Well, I think it about wraps it up for this week. I really want to thank all of the listeners out there. We really do appreciate you. Please take a minute to check out our socials. We are on Instagram at Miseducation of Bill. We are on Twitter at Miseducation of Bill. And please, please email us at miseducationofbill@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and like us on all of your favorite podcast apps. You can find us on all of the major apps, Spotify, Apple Music, and anywhere else you can find your podcast. A special thanks goes out to Wyatt Only and The Wreckage for letting us use their music on the podcast. You can find them on Spotify and at WOATW.com.
Okay, all well, right. We did that. So I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Cool.
Bye.
Bye. Succubus eye.
the marionette waiting in line for the guillotine. So pour another drink, 'cause we're